artists who want to weigh in on environmental issues sometimes have to get their hands dirty, literally. For instance, a photographer named Brandon Ballinger begins his workday by wading into a swamp.
It's pretty hard work. It's not so glamorous. You're kind of out in the field for 14 hours a day sometimes, and you've got these heavy waders on, and it's really hot, and you're getting eaten alive by mosquitoes and other great parasites that are burrowing in under your fingernails and things like that.
And what's he doing out there? Ballinger is an eco-artist, using the fine arts in the service of communicating science. He told Studio 360's Trey Kay why he spends his days hunting for frogs.
Well, I think sculpturally they're fascinating. I mean, they have a real kind of uncanny presence about them.
We're not talking about frogs that you kiss and then poof, they turn into a handsome prince. No, what Brandon Ballinger is looking for might frighten even the most intrepid frog kisser.
In and around 1995, 96, loads of amphibians in the Midwest started to pop up with extra legs. These kind of mutant frogs got lots of attention and completely captivated me. Just from a visual standpoint, I thought there's something really incredible about them.
So Ballinger scoops up these tiny multi-legged frogs and takes them back to his studio. There, he puts them through a chemical procedure called clear and stain.
Take a preserved specimen, put it in a series of dyes that adhere to certain tissues. Now, that staining will last. So what you then follow it up by is a clearing process, which makes the tissue essentially transparent.
These teeny mutant frogs end up looking like radiating neon 3D x-rays. Then Ballinger takes his pictures and blows them up to the size of a human child. They're totally freaky looking, and you can't take your eyes off them. But they compel your attention for another reason.
One makes the immediate jump to say, well, what other animals are deformed? Or is it safe for my kids to drink this water? Is it safe for my kids to play in this water?
That's Tiffany Holmes, professor at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
I think it raises a lot of health concerns, some of which are justified, some of which are unwarranted, but that's precisely the kind of concern that Ballinger wants to raise through this work.
Holmes teaches courses on eco-art, work by artists who promote an environmental message.
Most of the artists, I believe, would put their social concerns for the environment above the need to make a sort of beautiful sculpture or piece of work.
But Ballinger's work almost looks too good. Some viewers have accused him of manufacturing the monstrous frog images with Photoshop. One sci-fi blogger charges that he genetically engineered the frogs.
It would be really easy to Photoshop an image of frogs with 50 back legs. I'm not trying to make monsters. If anything, I'm trying to find out why we collectively are making monsters.
You know, I really need to figure it out for myself. I can't just listen to a politician say this is what we should be doing.
Someone who approaches eco-art in a different way is multimedia artist Andrea Poli.
The problems that the scientists are dealing with are so complex. You know, when you say global warming, well, not everywhere in the world is warming. Some places are getting colder. Some places are in drought. Some places are, flooding.
Her art is about transforming stacks of meteorological data into an audio experience. Listen to this. Now, you may think that you're hearing the inside of an alien spacecraft, but actually, you're hearing the anatomy of a hurricane. To be precise, it's Hurricane Bob, which hit the U.S. East Coast in the summer of 1991. Poli's piece, Atmospherics and Weatherworks, is a sonification of that storm.
Tell me what sonification is. What is that?
Sonification is the translation of numerical data, usually scientific data, into sound.
Data like temperature, atmospheric pressure, and total wind speed.
As scientists, we are so into the visual representation of our data. We make graphs of temperatures rising through the decades and through the century.
Dr. Cynthia Rosenzweig is head of the Climate Impacts Group at NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies.
The idea that there could be actually sounds that express the very same data, That was fascinating to me.
Rosenzweig helped Poley sonify some of the Institute's climate studies.
What's great about it as a scientist is that it's the actual data. It's not just the art of a storm. It's the actual data being expressed through art.
Now, sonification may blow minds at NASA, but what if you're not a climate scientist?
When I first started to hear it, parts of it reminded me of a dentist drill, and so it really made me experience psychosomatic tooth pain.
Andrea Poley's Hurricane Bob work was installed at the Tang Museum at Skidmore College, in the museum's elevator. Ginger Ertz works there.
So I didn't like it, and I took the stairs a lot, but over time I've gotten to like it more and more.
Do you think that a work like this might help people understand the very complex nature of climate and weather?
Maybe. I know that when I do stay in here longer with students and they hear all the different pitches, it gives them a sense of the fact that there isn't just one kind of thing going on. Whether they make that leap to the rest of climate and global warming or not, we talk about it a little bit, but I don't really know how much they take away.
But wait a minute. Isn't that a problem for an eco-artist? I mean, isn't the whole point that there be a takeaway?
I just don't want people to approach the work and say, you know, this is another one of those people preaching to me about, you know, turning my lights off or whatever. And it's really more about experiencing and appreciating the natural world. Maybe they won't get everything right away, but somehow listening to it has made them question or think about things a little bit differently.
Poley does share a sacred rule with Brandon Ballinger, the guy who takes pictures of the frogs, and that is to never manipulate the scientific data.
In this stage of controversy, the people that have political reasons to disagree with your science are going to look for the time. You know, any little inaccuracy in what you're saying is just immediately jumped on.
And these inaccuracies are fodder for talk radio hosts like Rush Limbaugh.
They cannot possibly measure the deep complexity of the climate on this planet. And yet global warming is a settled science. It is not settled, and it's not science. It is a religion. It is liberal religion, and as such, we are not permitted to question it, but people are.
Still, Brendan Ballinger likes to think that his spooky frog images just might be able to reach across party lines.
The work is seductive, and it's not designed to hit people over the head with an environmental message, but to try to get them interested. I mean, I wish Rush Limbaugh would come to an exhibition so he could see some of the pictures or let me do an environmental survey in his backyard. He might be really fascinated and potentially alarmed at what's going on back there.
For Studio 360, I'm Trey Kay.
You can check out Brandon Ballinger's pictures at studio360.org. And what do you think? Can art projects like this have a meaningful impact on how the world thinks about the environment? Or have you already been convinced by some art piece or film you think we should know about? Join the discussion at studio360.org.